welcome to NC Spin, an unrehearsed discussion about issues of interest to North Carolina. Now here's the host of NC Spin, Tom Campbell.
Thanks for tuning in this week's NC Spin. Our primary elections will be held in 4 weeks, but we haven't been hearing much about them. Not to worry, this week's NC Spin will take you through the elections, the candidates, and the issues from top to bottom of the statewide ticket. And if there's time, we'll get the panel to tell us something we don't know. This week's panel includes Anna Bevan Gravely from NC Free, John Hood, syndicated columnist and author, Chris Fitzsimon, director of The Newsroom, and Brad Crone, communications and political consultant. We'll begin our uninterrupted debate after these brief messages from our underwriters.
In more than 21 years on NC Spin, I never endorsed a product or sponsor, but I volunteered to do this message for family physicians. Over the past 40 years, my family doctor could quickly diagnose my illnesses because he knew my medical history. Evidence suggests I'll live longer, have a higher quality of life, and save 33% on health care costs. I believe in my trusted relationship with my family physician.
Family Physicians, your trusted health care advisor for life.
Life's busy, but you're in control. As an electric cooperative member, you have access to lots of tools to help manage your home energy use and budget, so you can focus on what's most important.
Government plays a key role in your life, affecting your paycheck, the way you educate your kids, the way you do business. How can you tell if government is doing a good job, making the right choices, spending tax dollars wisely? CarolinaJournal.com tackles those questions every day. The John Locke Foundation publishes Carolina Journal in print each month and on the web each day at CarolinaJournal.com. You'll find exclusive investigative reports on topics no one else is covering. What else? A rundown of the best news stories, editorials, and opinion columns in North Carolina. John Hood's Daily Journal. News stories and important public events at CarolinaJournal.tv. And the voices of the newsmakers themselves at Carolina Journal Radio. In print, on the air, and on the web, you can find the information you need at CarolinaJournal.com.
We now return to NC Spin.
Let's get started. The deadline to register to vote in the March primaries ended Friday, and early voting begins next Thursday. Many are saying they don't know who's running for what offices. Well, this week's NC Spin is here to help with a complete list of races and candidates for contested statewide contests. Let's begin at the top of the ticket with the presidential choices. It's been an interesting week so far as the presidency is concerned. Let's go down the ballot. So far as the presidential Republican race is concerned, there is one name that sort of stands out among the rest, and it's not Bill Weld. As a matter of fact, there were three candidates in that race on the North Carolina ticket. One dropped out this week, Joe Walsh, who said he was not going to run, and that the Republicans had become a cult, and he wasn't going to run for it. In fact, was going to work for the Democrat. Is it just a foregone? How big a vote will Trump get in this?
Oh, Trump will get 90% of the vote for sure. And the most interesting thing I see about Donald Trump in the state of North Carolina is the fact that he already has a team anywhere from 10 to 13 people, I hear, on the ground in the key television markets getting ready for the November general election. North Carolina is going to be a battleground state.
He arguably had the best week this week he's had in his 3 years of presidency. Wouldn't you agree, A.B.?
Absolutely. I mean, he's coming off of 76% approval and a positive reaction to his State of the Union.
By Republicans.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I think that's hard to beat.
I think that is all true. But he also reminded us how polarizing he is and how things are so wild. I mean, the disrespect he showed to Mitt Romney, the attack on his religion. I'm not saying it's going to happen. He'll certainly win the primary, but there is still a reasonable chance that he will do something so outlandish and so outrageous that a lot of people in North Carolina will have second thoughts.
I think there's some truth to that. I think there was generally a good week. But here's what I would say about it is we had like 3 months of political news crammed into a few days this week. Because we had the Iowa caucus, I know we'll talk about that in a moment. We had the impeachment conclusion, we had the State of the Union. There were some other events as well. In a strange way, I think because there was so much happening, it's possible that it won't have the kind of impact that it would have had if one of those things had happened this week. Because people just sort of were overwhelmed by news.
Brad, there are many people who are saying the Iowa caucus just demonstrated that the Democratic Party's a train wreck.
Holy smokes, what a chaos and confusion. I mean, how could it was just a cluster. I mean, there's no other way to say it. And who in the heck would think that it was a good idea to have an iPhone app capture results from a presidential preference, both your first and your second opportunities?
Chris, on the Democratic side of the presidential primary, a lot of names. Mm-hmm. Let's go through them. Michael Bennett, Joe Biden, Pete Buttigieg, Michael Bloomberg, Tulsi Gabbard, Amy Klobuchar, Bernie Sanders, Tom Steyer, Andrew Yang, and Elizabeth Warren. PPP just released a poll Thursday of this week, as a matter of fact, and showed that Biden's still out in front in North Carolina, 25% there. Bernie is second. Bloomberg has risen to third. Warren is fourth, and Buttigieg is fifth.
Well, I think the primary is dividing it into a couple ways. One way, you could say, is the more progressive left candidates. Bernie Sanders clearly is the leader there. Elizabeth Warren is in that field, and they're the more moderate folks, Biden, Buttigieg, certainly Bloomberg. But Biden has an overwhelming advantage. He is still far and away the most popular with African-American voters. And if he gets African-American voters and your more moderate Democrats, I think he'll be tough to beat. The question will be what happens in New Hampshire and how that affects the momentum of the race as we approach
Nevada,
our own.
And South Nevada. Carolina. Right. Here's what you got to watch in the presidential primary. Bloomberg's on the move. He's buying as much as 2,000 points a week in television in every single television market across the state.
That's unheard of.
It is unheard of. The other thing is Katie Hedrickson, Tom Hedrickson's daughter, is running the operation. She is political royalty in the state. She knows how to organize. Bloomberg is on the move in North Carolina.
God, I remember Tommy running the 92 Democratic races. So far as it goes, North Carolina decided on this March 3rd primary because we wanted to be a player. Mm-hmm. We got Super Tuesday with all kinds of states involved in this thing, California being the big kahuna so far as that's concerned.
Huh?
And Texas, yes. California and Texas. So far as it goes, was this a good decision, A.B.? If you had to go back and make this decision again for March 3rd, would you do that?
I think that it puts our candidates on a state level at a slight disadvantage. It shortens their timetable to get the word out. We'll talk later, but the overwhelming, like, unknown, undecided is very high.
Is it going to increase turnout, John?
I think that there will be probably a strong turnout in North Carolina. It is the third largest bundle of delegates available besides California and Texas. It's obviously, as Brad was talking about with regard to Bloomberg's purchases, it is a highly desirable state for Democrats. So if your goal was to make North Carolina early and important in the Democratic presidential stakes, then that probably succeeded. I think it had other costs that AB's getting at that, in my personal opinion, outweigh the benefits, but that's where we are.
The other big headline race, moving down the ticket just a little bit, is the U.S. Senate race. And of course, incumbent Tom Tillis is running for his first reelection. He's got a huge war chest that's been built up. But we got Larry Holm, Chris from Greensboro, Sharon Hudson from Huntersville, and Paul Wright from Mount Olive. Are they going to scratch?
No. I mean, when Garland Tucker was in the race for a while, he had the financial resources to at least make some noise. I mean, Tillis is a foregone conclusion. The real battle is who will be his opponent in the fall.
So far as it goes, is his cohesiveness to Donald Trump helping or hurting him?
I think it helps him. It builds organization within and support.
I'm not talking about just the primary, but the generally.
No, I think that it helps him. I think his alliance with Trump helps him going into the general election significantly.
We had some interesting developments in the Democratic side of this thing this past week. Cal Cunningham has been on the air since Fido was a pup, it feels like, running ads.
We started seeing
ads for Erica Smith this week, his Democratic opponent.
Yes.
But those ads weren't bought by Erica Smith.
No, they were not. No, they came from a shadowy organization that some assume is a Republican-backed PAC, Faith and Power. This is not a strategy that is unheard of. We've seen this in other states as well. I think it is at least an attempt to make the Democratic primary more competitive. If these are Republicans trying to nominate Erica Smith. I'm not sure they will succeed.
It looks like they've already decided who's going to be the presumptive winner here. So they bought ads for Erica Smith to try to blunt Cal Cunningham's advantage.
Yeah, if that's their strategy, I don't think that's a bad one at all. He definitely has more cash on hand at the end of the year filing than she does by a long shot.
Do you think it's okay for the Republicans to run ads in the Democratic primary?
I don't think it's okay. Oh, I think okay. That's their strategy. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I do think there is an odd way in which, if Republicans are doing this, the actual substance of the ads basically say Erica Smith is the only one that's really on the left.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure that's really what Republicans want to say going into the general election. It makes Cal look like a moderate. Well, I'm not sure right. Why that's actually a good idea positioning.
It'll depend on who the Democrat nominee is and how that plays.
PPP poll that was released this week says that Cal's got... Yeah, he's... Well, it was... I thought it was... 29% of the preferences.
And then
Erica got 10%, but there was a huge percentage, 60%, said they hadn't decided.
So it's a wide-open primary field. I mean, as you look at it, it's a wide-open primary field. For the Republicans to get involved in the primary, I think it's a pretty smart strategy because it shows division within the Democratic Party.
So far as it goes, and I'm anticipating, but let's say Cal Cunningham and Tom Tillis are the candidates. Is this going to be a tight race?
I think it'll be one of the most competitive races in the country, but not in the top three. I think it'll be around four or five.
Chuck Schumer and the DSCC has bankrolled Cunningham, and they're counting on this being one of the seats they've got to have to flip the Senate.
The wild card is if Bernie is on the ticket.
Absolutely.
As your nominee for president, you'll see a tsunami, a Republican tsunami in the state, unlike 84, 94, and 2010.
Indeed,
it will be a disaster.
If the Republicans truly wanted to tip a Democratic primary to help Tom Tillis, they'd be investing in the presidential race, trying to get Bernie Sanders nominated, because that would be the biggest gift of all to Tom Tillis and most of the other Republicans in the country.
Let's move down the list to the congressional list. There are obviously 13 House districts, and there are going to be 13 contests that are going to be coming up. But some of them are more interesting than others, and some of them aren't even contested, and we're not going to mention those. But let's talk about George Holding's seat in the 2nd Congressional District. Alan Swain is running against Deborah Ross, Andy Terrell, Monica Johnson, and Ollie O'Neill Nelson from Camp Lejeune. Deborah is presumed to be the leader in this.
Well, she is. She just ran statewide, raised a lot of money, was really well-known, has been well-known working in her work at the ACLU. She's been a Democratic activist for a long time. The interesting thing is Monica Hostetler-Johnson, who you mentioned, she filed in the race before it was redrawn, before they knew Joel Schulte. And she's worked the Coalition Against Domestic Violence, a very strong person.
And she's on the Wake County School Board. She's been on the ballot.
On the board. And she's a good candidate, but I think Deborah Ross is a name recognition, her money, her experience.
I think if she wins the primary, it's easy selling for the general election. I think Deborah Ross can consolidate and build unity in the party in Wake County.
And I actually think she will help, if she's on the ticket, if she wins, she will help other candidates on the ballot.
Let's move over to the 6th District. This is a seat that is open. And so far as the Republican primary, we've got Joseph Lee Haywood from Summerfield and Laura Picardo from Pelham.
Lee Haywood, I believe, is the most likely nominee. He's the 6th District Republican chair, or was before he filed.
Okay. Well, the interesting thing about this district, Tom, it's gone from a strong Republican district to a leans Democratic district.
Because of the
congressional redistricting mandated by the state Supreme
Over
Court.
Over on the Republican side, AB, the Democratic side, however, we've got Bruce Davis from High Point, Rhonda Fox from Greensboro, Ed Haynes from Winston-Salem, Kathy Manning from Greensboro, and Derwin Montgomery. Ed Haynes has some name recognition.
He does.
Because he served in the legislature.
Well, all of them do, though.
Right.
Yeah, and Bruce Davis is former
Fox
NAACP.
Fox worked for Alma Adams.
Former chief
Montgomery is the current state rep and was on the city council in Winston-Salem. Bruce Davis was Bruce Davis has been on the ballot multiple times in Guilford County. Kathy Manning was the nominee
Who would you give the edge to right now?
I give the edge to Kathy Manning right now simply because she's got a financial advantage. She's been able to raise the money and put money into the primary. She's going to have the available resources to get on television.
Another thing to look at for that district is that Guilford County has a larger percentage of the vote than Forsyth County, because part of Forsyth is actually in Patrick McHenry's district, believe it or not, now. And so I think that the Guilford-based candidates probably have an edge for that reason. Also, there are three strong Democratic candidates from Winston-Salem.
And so it is a minority-leaning seat. And you know, don't underestimate Rhonda Fox in this debate. Yeah. What I'm afraid of with African-American men is that they're going to undercut any type of base voter support. Mr. Montgomery, Ed Haynes, and Bruce Davis all have bases of support, right, but it's going to get splintered.
Let's move over to the 11th district. Chris, this is Mark Meadows' seat,
right,
stepping down. Over on the Democratic side, we got Joey Osborne from Hickory, Vance Patterson from Morganton, Albert Wiley from Salter Path, and Wayne King from Kings Mountain. Wayne King has the name recognized.
Wayne's on the Republican side.
I'm sorry, I got that mixed up. I apologize. All right, so between Osborne, Patterson, and Wiley, where are we?
I don't think that it makes very much of a difference. It's probably a roll of the dice as far as that's concerned.
But is it still a Republican seat?
No, it's going to be a little more competitive.
Osborne, I don't know enough about all these to speak intelligently, but that never stops me on NC State. But Osborne has been very active on social media. I think there's a feeling that there's a grassroots movement. He has managed to act like there's a grassroots movement behind him. He may have an early advantage.
You could have a grassroots movement if you act like you have a grassroots movement.
Well, the story here, I think, the real story is interesting to me, is that Mark Meadows clearly tried to engineer this in the Republican primary for his chosen friend of his wife, who and raising a lot of hackles. In a normal political world, 20 years ago, this would be a mini scandal. But the way the world has changed, nobody's really paying attention.
We got 12 Republicans. Yeah. We got 12 Republican candidates. Right. We could put a football team on the field. Michael O'Shea from Asheville, Philip Price from Marion, Steve Woodsmall from Pisgah Forest, Gina Collins from Kings Mountain, Mo Davis from Asheville, Chuck Archard from Asheville, Linda Bennett from Maggie Valley, Matthew Burrell from Asheville, Madison Cawthon from Hendersonville, Jim Davis from Franklin, Dan Driscoll from Lenoir, Steve Fikeet. I knew I was going to mess it up. Dylan Gentry from Banner Elk and the aforementioned Wayne King.
Well, I think Jim Davis and Wayne King have the campaign infrastructures in place right now to be the most competitive Republicans. I don't know very much about the real estate agent that...
Linda Bennett.
But I can tell you Wayne King has got a lot of political experience, and Senator Davis does too.
So interestingly, six of the candidates in that district live outside the district. You get to do that when you're running for Congress as opposed to legislature. I would say Wayne King. I would say Jim Davis, the former or retiring state senator from the western corner of the state, and Linda Bennett are the key names to watch, don't you think?
Absolutely. I think the thing about Linda Bennett that sets her apart is the fact that the Freedom Caucus has endorsed her, and it's been a signal that win this loaded primary, that she's going to be the standout.
And it's interesting to remember the Asheville is now completely in this district. It's still a leaning Republican district, but not nearly as Republican as it was, because the city of Asheville is all in it.
We haven't hit all of the 13. Any of the other districts that at this moment the primaries look like they may have some interest to watch?
I mean, one of the races that we haven't talked about that is potentially competitive in the fall is Richard Hudson's 8th district.
Yes.
But he is the Republican nominee, and Patricia Timmons Goodson is the Democratic nominee, so there's no primary there. But when we get to the fall, we're going to be talking about the 8th district. I think it's a lean Republican, but, you know, we'll see.
She's going to be a good candidate.
We'll see the 9th again. That'll come back.
Again?
Yes.
Thought we had finished that one.
But no.
Let's move to the statewide Council of State races. We've got in the governor's race for the Democrats, we've got Dan Forrest, the lieutenant governor, who's running, and Holly Grange from Raleigh, who's running in the primary there. It is assumed that Dan Forrest is going to take this nomination.
Forrest will take the nomination. What I've witnessed this week traveling across the state, Tom, is the organization that he has. And it's impressive. It's not a very traditional campaign that we've seen, a lot of grassroots, and I think that's going to be a big benefit for Dan Forrest moving into the Republican primary.
Without trying to sound like I'm picking a candidate, I have to love his yard signs. You know.
Oh, absolutely. And they're all over the state.
Run, Forrest,
all
run.
Over the state.
It's consistent messaging, and it worked for him the first time, and he's
like
hoping that works again.
Like the old Berbershave signs.
Yeah.
You're too young to remember. Over on the Democratic side, we've got Roy Cooper and Ernest Reeves from Greenville. Cooper has been noticeably quiet in this, John.
He may be assuming that he can take Reeves. I mean, I'm just going out on a limb.
Is that far-fetched?
Are you making a prediction?
Memo to self.
I am willing to go out on that limb with the governor.
I can tell you the governor's busy raising money is what the governor's doing. He's really stockpiling a war chest.
I know. He's doing fundraisers all over.
But again, I go back to my previous comment. If Bernie's on the ballot, man,
it ain't going to make any difference.
Right.
Yeah. But if Trump implodes, it makes a difference.
The race that I think a lot of us are going to be watching, because it can be a fun race, is the lieutenant governor's race.
I think it's going to be fun for us, not necessarily fun for the people who are in it.
Well, it never is.
No.
I can tell you from having had a father who ran, there is no hurt like losing an election. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just hurts bad. All right, on the Republican side for lieutenant governor, we got Buddy Bingell from Newbern, Deborah Cochran from Mount Airy, Renee Elmas, former congressman from Dunn, Greg Gebhardt, Mark Johnson, former superintendent or will soon to be former superintendent of public instruction, John Ritter from West End, Mark Robinson from Greensboro, Scott Stone from Charlotte, and Senator Andy Wells. Handicap that one.
Well, the challenge there is a number of those individuals have within their own areas a following. You mentioned that Senator Wells is in it. Scott Stone was a state rep and was active in city politics in Charlotte. Of course, Renee Elmers was a member of Congress. Even Cochran was the mayor of her town of Mount Airy. But I wouldn't discount the candidates who haven't been elected yet. Greg Gebhardt is a very active statewide competitor. Mark Robinson is also very popular on sort of in the grassroots party organizations. And Buddy Bingell out east is a rising star in Republican politics there. I think this is a very difficult race to
Mark
call.
And Mark Johnson, who I don't think has done a very good job, but he has won a statewide election.
It has statewide name ID.
There's no question about whether you favor or don't favor. Mark Johnson is a known name in North Carolina.
If you peel back a layer and start looking at their fundraising numbers, the three that are really competing on fundraising on the Republican side is Mark Johnson, Andy Wells, and...
Renee?
Actually, not Renee. Surprisingly, Stone? Not Relay. Renee, Scott Stone. Yeah. Yes.
Interesting. This is going to be a fun contest to watch. Over on the Democratic side, Brad, six candidates there. Bill Toole from Charlotte, Senator Terry Van Dyne from Asheville, Yvonne Lewis Holly from Raleigh, Chaz Beasley from Charlotte, Alan Thomas from Rayford, and Ron Newton from Durham. Handicap that one.
75% PPP put out was undecided at this point in time.
Right. Three incumbent legislators running. I think this is wide open. Renee Elmers is on television. Her commercials are airing, I believe, the only Democratic candidate. Terry Van Dyne's the only Democrat who's on television. That doesn't mean she's going to win, but she clearly, I think, is out front in terms of her...
Well, she's raised more money than anybody.
That's right.
Chaz Beasley's gotten a bunch of the endorsements. Right. The BPAC out of Charlotte, Durham Committee, Durham People's Alliance.
All right, let's move to some of the other races. The Attorney General's race. Josh Stein, obviously running for re-election unopposed. In the primary. In the Republican primary, though, we got Jim O'Neill, the district attorney from Winston-Salem, Sam Hayes from Raleigh, and Chris Mumma from Raleigh. What you thinking on that?
O'Neill's got a base of support coming out of the Greensboro, Winston-Salem market. Right. I think he'll be the leading candidate.
Mumma is just on television. I just saw an ad recently. So I think that'll be a little closer than we think. I think she'll run a decent campaign.
The auditor's race has a contested primary in that... Beth Wood has a Democratic challenger in Louis Toledo. The Republicans have Tony Street from Supply and Tim Hogenmeyer from Fuquay Varina. Any interest there?
I'm going to go with Tony Street on this one.
Okay. I don't think anybody's going to beat the sitting incumbent state auditor in her Democratic primary.
I'm not mistaken, I think Toledo worked for her.
He did.
He worked at the North Carolina Justice Center.
And he worked at the Justice Center.
He ran for the legislature.
Works for Ernst & Young now.
In Commissioner of Agriculture's race, I'm sorry if I'm pushing. We're running out of time. Steve Troxler, obviously the Republican incumbent, is running unopposed. We got Donovan Watson, Jenna Wadsworth, and Walter Smith from Yadkinville. If Smith wins this, it would be a rematch for him, right?
Absolutely, but watch. I think Wadsworth has an organization within the Democratic Party. She's soil and conservation officer in Wake County, strongest candidate for the Democrats there.
In the Republican insurance commissioner's race, Mike Causey obviously is running for re-election. Ronald Pierce is running against him. Wayne Goodwin for the Democrats. This could be another rematch.
I think it will be a rematch.
It will be a rematch because he's going to win the nomination without
There's going to be a vacant seat in the Commissioner of Labor's post on the Council of State. For the Republicans, we got Pearl Burris Floyd, Josh Dobson, and Chuck Stanley.
Two former legislators in the Republican side. They're running. The Democrats have Jessica Holmes without a primary.
Right.
He's a county commissioner and has a base.
Wake County
has an urban area, urban base. This is going to be a fascinating. I think this will be one of the more interesting Council of State races.
We could have another rematch in the Secretary of State's race. On the Republican side, Chad Brown, E.C. Sykes, Mike LePaglier are running against Elaine Marshall, who has no competition. Is this going to be a rematch?
I think we're definitely going to see E.C. Sykes on this one. He's getting some endorsements.
Okay. I want to move to Superintendent of Public Instruction because this one could be interesting. We've got a vacant seat here. On the Republican side, Craig Horne and Kathy Truitt. On the Democrats, James Barrett, Constant Johnson from Charlotte, Jen Mangum from Greensboro, Mike Mayer from Meyer, from Raleigh, and Keith Sutton, school
Keith
board.
Keith Sutton's chairman of the Wake County School Board, probably the leading candidate able to consolidate with educators across the state.
Craig Horne, fairly well known in education circles.
Kathy Truitt was Governor McCrory's education advisor, and I think is also.
I think Representative Horne will win that, but it's competitive. Yeah.
We're running out of time. I do want to move over to the state house. The treasurer's race, Dale Falwell, obviously, is running there. Three Democrats running against him, Matt Leatherman, Ron Chatterjee, and Dimple.
Chatterjee has an advantage going in simply because he's been able to raise so much money.
He's got a bunch of three Supreme Court, five Court of Appeals. We have 1 minute left in show. All right. In the legislature, we've got 59 legislators that are running that lean left or lean right without a primary, and 47 competitive without a primary. Lots of incumbents winning there?
I think we're going to see a lot of incumbents taking the lead because, again, the short primary timetable is not giving them enough
name
time.
Name recognition, voters will go vote for who they know.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, we didn't cover it nearly enough. We will come back and we will be doing this again before the March 3rd primary. You can count on NC Spin. We hope you've enjoyed this analysis of March 3rd. Next week, we return to our normal format. Until that time, stay informed and watch out for the spin.
In more than 21 years on NC Spin, I never endorsed a product or sponsor, but I volunteered to do this message for family physicians. Over the past 40 years, my family doctor could quickly diagnose my illnesses because he knew my medical history. Evidence suggests I'll live longer, have a higher quality of life, and save 33% on healthcare costs. I believe in my trusted relationship with my family physician.
Family Physicians, your trusted healthcare advisor for life.
Life's busy, but you're in control. As an electric cooperative member, you have access to lots of tools to help manage your home energy use and budget so you can focus on what's most important.
Join us next week and get the spin on issues facing our state. For more information or to learn how to contact us, visit our website, ncspin.com. NC Spin is a copyrighted production of Carolina Broadcasting System, Incorporated.